Welcome back to the program. Evan Bray on this Thursday lunch hour now. If you are out and about in the province, how's the drive? I know we've got covered highways in a couple of areas. I just brought the highway hotline up. So we're talking around Emma Lake, Shelbrook, Leask, Blaine Lake in that area. Looks like the highways are partially or totally covered. And around Foam Lake, Ituna, Kelleher, even up to Wynyard, highway's not the best there. Snow covered. Plows are out, but just a good reminder that today we are getting a blast of winter. It's going to stick in some parts of the province more than other. So drive carefully if you're on the highways. It's that time of the year. We're seeing that transition, right? I just talked about the fact this morning I got the snowblower out, got it set up in the garage. I mean, I'm hoping I won't need to use it for a bit yet, but people throw in the windshield scraper in their vehicle and people starting to think about skiing, all of those winter activities. But winter is just around the corner. So if you are a winter sport lover, it could mean a variety of different things. If you're a skier, hitting the slopes might not be the best part or might not be that far away. And one of the best things about it is getting your equipment out, getting it ready. Maybe passing along what you've outgrown and getting some new stuff. The Canadian Ski Patrol's annual ski swap is coming back. It's been going on now for 32 years, and it's actually firing up this weekend. And we've had the group from Canadian Ski Patrol on our show before, and I'm happy to have a guest this morning who is not only a volunteer with Canadian Ski Patrol, has been doing this for a long time, but Gord Juricity is also a ski swap event organizer, and we're going to talk about that with Gord as well. Gord, thanks so much for taking our call.
Thanks for having us, Evan.
So let's talk first about Canadian Ski Patrol. You've been a volunteer for a long time. Remind people that might have either not heard previous interviews we've done or forgot what this is all about. What do you do?
Well, the Ski Patrol is a group of volunteers from all across Canada. It's a Canadian organization. And our volunteers are trained to provide first aid and rescue services to skiers or snowboarders that may have suffered an unfortunate accident or incident on a ski hill. And so we have volunteers at ski areas, I said, all across the country who give of their time and their money and are out there helping people have a good time on the ski hills.
How did you get interested in this? Did you just happen to hear about it? How did that happen?
Yeah, I've been a member for 44 years. This will be my 45th year coming up in 2026.
Wow.
And I got involved about the time I was getting interested in skiing. I'd been skiing for a few years. One of my brothers had been on the patrol in Saskatoon at Blackstrap, and he talked a lot about it. It was a good way to get out in the winter and do something that was both good for me to get out and be active, but also be able to help people and learn some great skills. And so that was over 40 years ago, and I've done first aid, and I've done a whole bunch of other things with the patrol that would be completely different than what I would do at work, and that became kind of my addiction to do all sorts of different things that were not work-related.
Yeah. Have you got a lot of volunteers? Are you always looking for more, Gord?
For the organization, we're always looking for more volunteers. The attrition rate is relatively high, I would tell you. We do lots of things to try to make members stay. But skiing is an expensive sport. Volunteering takes some time, and it takes some time away from family and friends. We have lots of people that come and go and move, so we suffer those sorts of things. But we recruit every year. We train our members every year. They have a great time. We still lose about 15 to 20% of our members every year.
Gord Juricity is my guest, longtime Canadian Ski Patrol volunteer and ski swap event organizer. So when you talk about skiing can be an expensive sport, maybe this is one way to keep your kind of the level of cost down by taking part in this ski swap event happening this weekend. Tell us what it's all about.
Right. Well, the Qu'Appelle zone, that's the zone in Regina, has been running the ski swap, as you said, for 32 years. And basically, it's a sale of new and used ski equipment. So the public can bring their equipment in if it's in good condition and or gently used and consign it, and we'll sell it for them for a commission. And that's how we raise our money. Mm-hmm. And then if you're interested in finding equipment or renewing equipment, the public can come to the ski swap on Saturday. And there's a wide selection of equipment that's consigned, both gently used equipment that we receive from the public, as well as a lot of brand new, never seen snow equipment that we get from some of our retail partners in the province.
So it's not just the sale of this. Is it not just happening this weekend? It happens for some time?
No, it's just this weekend. We do our equipment intake or our consignment on Friday night. And we do the sale all day Saturday. It's a one-day event. It's the largest one-day sale of new and used ski equipment in Saskatchewan.
And so where do you have this, Gord?
In Regina, the sale is held at Campbell Collegiate on Massey Road.
Okay. Campbell Collegiate. And so you bring the items on the Friday night?
That's correct. Yeah. So if you have some equipment that you want to get rid of or consign, you can bring it to the school on Friday night. We open at 6:45 for public registration, and the public can bring their equipment in. We review it and make sure that it's in good condition and the bindings aren't obsolete or things like that. That's not damaged, and then the accepted equipment is registered in the sale, and that goes from 6:45 to 9:00 on Friday night. And then on Saturday, we open the doors at 9 a.m. For our large sale, as I said. And it would basically sell from 9 till 4:30. There's a one-hour period in the middle of the day from 12:30 to 1:30 where we close the swap and we mark down prices on pieces of equipment that the public and the retailers have said, if that doesn't sell in the morning for this price, mark it down to this price, and we'll see if we can sell it in the afternoon.
Good stuff. I mean, I can't imagine how helpful this is for families who have, number one, a family that loves to ski, but children that are growing every year. And so there's this constant churn of equipment.
Exactly right. We get a lot of families with young children that come in and will buy skis for their children last year or the year before, and they've outgrown it. They'll consign that equipment in the sale on Friday and then come with the family on Saturday and try to buy the next size up to get them through the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of children and youth equipment that is sold and exchanged through the ski swap.
Good stuff. Well, Gord, I appreciate you coming on the program. Thanks for giving us a bit of help and understanding of when this is happening. And thanks for the work you and the rest of the Ski Patrol volunteers do on the slopes in our province and across Canada throughout the year. It's much appreciated.
Thank you very much. And we appreciate the opportunity to talk about it on your show.
Mm-hmm. Gord Juricity, who has been a long time, what did he say, 45 years, Canadian Ski Patrol volunteer. He's the organizer of this ski swap event that is happening. Tomorrow night, you turn in the items that you wish to consign and sell. They're set up at Campbell Collegiate in Regina. And then Saturday is basically shopping day where you can go down, find some good used and in some cases new ski equipment to get ready for the ski season, which is, whether you like it or not, not probably that far away. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. To the regular music tomorrow, but today we wanted to inject some AI-generated music into the show, thanks to Frank Ehler, one of our tech producers, who put together a number of songs we've been able to play throughout the show today to just show what the capabilities are of taking an existing song and plugging it into artificial intelligence to make it sound like it's sung by someone else, to change the style, the tempo, whatever you want of the song. It's generated good discussion on the text line today. Thanks to everybody who's been interacting with us on that. Speaking of which, Travis from Yorkton keeping us posted on the highways. Here we go. I'm going to read the last line first. He says, "Welcome to Saskatchewan. Snow in Ituna, wet flurries in Kelleher, heavy rain showers past Muskogan, and now nothing in Raymore, just kind of wet pavement. All the while, the temperature remains at zero." Welcome to Saskatchewan, Travis says. Travis, appreciate your text. We started the show off this morning with a conversation with Premier Scott Moe. And, of course, I wanted to talk a bit about the budget that was released, the federal budget this week. His thoughts in a few different areas, including when it comes to energy, something that I knew he'd be paying particular attention to.
Somewhat. And at least we were able to engage with Prime Minister Carney and his administration. That's new. Prior to that, things were essentially being dictated by the previous administration. So we're thankful for that. We're hopeful, somewhat hopeful we'll be able to find a path forward that's workable for our industries. And we very much align with the regulatory changes that, as we see it, need to happen. But we very much align with Premier Smith in Alberta. Sometimes the emphasis is a little bit different. We have an energy transition that has to happen here from coal, about 1,000 megawatts of coal-fired power that we want to find our way to nuclear over the next couple of decades or so. That's all part of that discussion. We need, we're supportive of that pipeline to the Northwest Coast and working alongside Alberta on that. And one of the things in order for that to happen is to be able to increase our very sustainable oil production to fill it up and to provide energy security to the world. And so those, 9 or 10 regulatory changes that need to happen, we need to work on that. Bill C-5 kind of legislates through it in the short term, but we need to continue to work on that with this federal government or whoever is the federal government in the days, weeks or months ahead.
The other thing I chatted with the premier about was that new Cameco deal that we just heard about in the last week with the United States in terms of $80 million and nuclear reactors. I know we heard the premier say this is also good for Saskatchewan. I asked him how.
It's huge for Saskatchewan. It's huge for Canada, North America, and the world. This is one of the largest, most significant deals in nuclear investments by any country, any Western country in the world today, and it involves very much a fuel supply coming from Saskatchewan and ownership coming from a Saskatchewan company in Cameco. And so there are all sorts of opportunities, not just on the mining end, but on the entire engagement of the nuclear supply chain, as well as everything else that comes along with about $80 billion being invested in this space. Second to that, more direct in opportunity for, I would again say, North America and the Western world, but Saskatchewan in particular, as we're looking at a nuclear future, is this is going to provide cost certainty in that large reactor space. And this is one of the things that, the Western nuclear industry has really been searching for, is someone to step in, do a significant build, so that we can drive the costs of these reactors into a space where you know what it is going to end up at when it's up and functioning. And so this is huge for our conversation locally. It's huge for Saskatchewan in the demand for Saskatchewan uranium, and we have at least two more mines that are working through the regulatory process, as well as expansion of the existing mines. And so this is exactly the opportunities that I think we can now repeat in other areas of the world in the uranium industry, but also in other industries that we have in the province as well. So as challenging as I say the near term is for our Canadian economy, the medium to long term has some tremendous opportunities for our province and our nation.
We were chatting with the premier just after 8:30 this morning. At 9 o'clock, we knew he had an announcement, and I nudged him a bit to say it's 10 to 9 at the time we were chatting with him. Could we get a bit of a preview?
All the way from Park Beg, Saskatchewan, we have Gaynor the Golfer and some of the riders organization are in here today, where we're going to sign a very big proclamation, probably sign it in a felt marker or a Sharpie, and turn around and show to everyone that tomorrow, Friday, November the 7th is going to be Green and White Day. We have the Western Final coming up. We have a strong Rough Riders organization, best team in the league this year, that are going to hit the ground here in Regina, Saskatchewan, for the Western Final. Certainly we're hoping for success in that, and we're asking everyone in the province to proudly wear the green and white on Friday, the November 7th, to support our professional football team.
I love it. It's what a big weekend of football, Premier. We got the
Party
Rams and
going on.
Yeah, the Hilltops, Rams, Huskies. It's huge.
Yeah, it's we can be very proud of the youth and the athletes that we have in this province. And this is a weekend for us to put our pride on full display for everyone in this nation to see.
We had a great chat with the Premier this morning. If you missed it, you can go back on the website. We did a deeper dive into the budget. We talked about tariffs, talked a bit about those P tariffs that have just been announced from India, and of course the proclamation that you just heard him talk about. Green and White Day tomorrow, November the 7th. Wear your green and white in support of the riders. Well, that brings us to the end of another program. Thanks so much for joining us today. We look forward to doing it all over again tomorrow, the Friday edition, the Green and White Day edition of the Evan Bray Show. Fires up at 8:30 right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.